mind, according to the weather, things like that. But listen to the Holy Spirit. It's definitely going to make it a lot better, as in the way that Adam joined the worship. I'm just going to pray with us, or for us this morning. It's our privilege to have my friend, and I wish I could say co-farmer, but I'm not a farmer yet. David, we just spoke about the grass that it's tall and all the rain, and it's wonderful. David, we're really privileged to have you in the pulpit this morning. It's going to be a blessing, I know. So I just want to pray for us this morning. Father God, I want to thank you, Lord God, for this morning, Father God, and that we can be here as a church and as a family, Lord God, as your children, Lord God, as your sons and daughters, Lord, and that we can just come, Lord God, and become still before you and just acknowledge that you are God and that you are our Father and our King, Lord God. And as when we interceded this morning, Lord, we just ask for your presence, Father God. And thank you, Lord, that we know you are here this morning, because you say in Scripture, Lord, where two or three of us are gathered together, Lord, you will be in our midst. Thank you, Lord, and we just want to invite you, Holy Spirit, into our church, into ministry this morning, into our everyday lives, Lord God, as in the way when Adam joined the worship team this morning and it just became alive, Lord God. We can do nothing without you, Lord God, and we just bow our knees this morning and we say, Lord God, that let your kingdom come and let your will be done, Father God. And I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll minister to all of us this morning. Thank you that we have the expectation and that we can know you will minister to us this morning, Lord God, and that we can do nothing out of our own strength, Lord God, but only through you, in Jesus Christ. Amen. David, thank you.
Good morning. Praise the Lord. I just want to say once again, thank you, Carl, for the opportunity to stand in the pulpit this morning. It's always an honor. It's a holy honor for me to be used by God. And I want to take every opportunity to speak the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, you can turn, or you can, I think it will be on the screen there, you can just read with us. Blanche, it was just awesome to see that God had put the same verses that He gave me through the week, Proverbs 3, to you. So you can see how the Spirit of God is just moving and working, eh? Proverbs chapter 3 from verse 1 to 13. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the table of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vest will overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord, or loathe His reproof. For whom the Lord loves, He reproves, even as a father the son in whom He delights. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. This is God's word. It's just awesome to see how did God speak to us through His words. And this morning, they put it up there already, the title of my sermon this morning is, Do You Trust Me? Do You Trust Me? Jesus said in John 14 verse 1, do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. And Martin Luther once said, faith is a living, well-founded confidence in the grace of God. I was reading this quote of Martin Luther this week while I was preparing for my sermon for today. And once again, I come to realize how blessed we are to live under the grace of God. You will come to know that normally when I speak or preach, I speak or preach out of my personal convictions or the personal issues that God put into my life or into my family's life or in friends. And then how did God lead us through this? So during the past few weeks, my family and I went through some things that we have never imagined that will happen with us. As a family, we always put our trust in God, especially in times, in difficult times, especially in times when we know that we can go nowhere else as only to God. God was always there to bring us through the valleys. However, there comes a time in everyone's life when we become weary, when we come work out, you know, and then we start losing our trust. And this is when God called out to us, "Do you trust me?" And it happened with me this week, and Carl will know, the two of us had talked about it. And God had come to me really and asked me, "David, do you really trust me?" We have all trusted people and many things in our lives. Every day we trusted people because this is one of our personal nature. We often trust our family members, and we still trust them today, and there's nothing wrong to trust our family members. We have put our trust in our friends in the past, and I know that we will still trust our friends in the future. And we put our trust in things that is not living things. We put our trust in transportation, in buses, in trains. We put our trust in our vehicles to bring us from one place to another place. We put our trust in the national security. Every weekend if I'm going to the farm, I know that my house will be looked after because G4S is going around and it will. So I put my trust even in that security. We put our trust in the military services of our country. Praise God. That's why our country is still so stable. But the question is, what do all of these things have in common? What do all of these things that we have trusted, our friends, our families, our vehicles, G4S, what did all of these things have in common? The answer is, all of them can fail us. Everything, friends, families, everything have failed us in the past. Now God come and ask us this question, do you trust me? God wants us to trust him. God wants us, you and me, to put our trust completely in him. There are many examples, and I was going through the Bible and I was thinking of people who had really, really put their trust in God throughout the ages. You know, Moses, God gave Moses an instruction. God said, "Moses, lead my people out." And what Moses did, Moses took his people and he went. And suddenly he come right in front of the Red Sea. And he know he can't go through that Red Sea if he didn't do one thing. He have to trust God. He said, "God, only you can take me through the Red Sea." So what did God did? He parted the Red Sea and Moses went through. So I can give you lots and lots of examples. Joseph trusted God. Joseph was suffered and he was faded away in Pharaoh's prison. And he trusted God. God led him out. David trusted God. Suddenly this young, small man was standing right in front of this giant Goliath. And what did he did? He said, "God, in you I put my trust." And David could slay that giant that day. Jonah trusted God. Jonah trusted God when he was fleeing away. And what did God? He was in the belly of the whale when he put his trust completely in God. And he said to God, "God, please, I put my trust in you. Give me another chance." And the whale, he went on the journey that God had sent him. And then Peter and John trusted God when they stood before the Sanhedrin and gave their defense of the Christian faith. And this is one thing that you and I must daily do. We are daily standing before Sanhedrins and have to give our defense of our daily faith. And do we trust God that we will give the right defense of our faith? But what does all these means? What does trust really, really means? Luckily, my wife is a teacher and she has a lot of dictionaries there. So I look up in the Webster dictionary, and the Webster dictionary said, trust is a basic dependence on someone or something with a strong belief that something will happen or someone will act in the prescribed way. So trust in God is an unwavering, solid, and unshakable belief that the God of heaven will indeed work out on behalf to bring His perfect will and His being into our life. This is what is trust mean into God. Far too often, life becomes completely focused on our trials and our difficulties. And then we lose our trust in God. We are so focused on our problems. We are so focused on the difficulties in our life that we're completely losing our trust in God. When Peter, I know this is an example that you have heard maybe thousands of times, but it's so true. When Peter walked on the water with Jesus, he was doing well. Because what did he do? He put his full trust in God. So he could get up out of the boat and he could start walking on the water until he took his eyes off of Jesus and he looked at the waves. Until he was starting losing his trust in Jesus. The same is so true with you and me today. God can get us through the most impossible situations. But we must keep our focus and we must keep our trust on Him. How can we ever expect to find help and healing when we are only focused on our difficulties? When we are not focused on our deliverance? So God come and ask you this morning, do you really trust me? Jesus was calling his disciples to trust God through any and every circumstances in life. This is why Jesus himself have said these words in John 14:1. Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. He know that he's going to be crucified. And he know that his beloved disciples will be scattered. They will go through a very, very difficult time in their life. And this is when Jesus was telling them to trust even when they did not understand, because God was still at work. Because at that time, the disciples couldn't understand why did Jesus have to die. But Jesus told them, you still have to trust even though that you don't understand. If I were to ask you this morning, individually, most of you would quickly respond and said, yes, I do trust in God. But there are times that it's not so easy to keep my trust on God. Trusting God means we believe in that which we cannot see, something that we cannot understand. This is trusting God. Believe in something that we cannot see, something that we, you and I, cannot understand. Do you know that trusting God is literally against our human nature? Because trusting God means that we have to admit that we are not in control. That we admit that we give the control to God. And this is why it's sometimes so hard to really, really trust in God. And we have to place our trust in something or someone that we need to do it every day. We need to do it every day. We need to put our trust in God every day. We trust our cars to get us to our destinations, is what I said. We trust our employers to deliver a paycheck at the end of each month. We trust our doctors when we go to the doctor that we will get something, medicine, to heal our illnesses. So how much more should you and I trust God? If we trust people around us so much, how much more must you and I trust God? Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Disaster strikes and tragedies happen in our lives. and life can be hard indeed. I don't know who of you have look at the news and see what has happened in Japan, in Tokyo, that big disasters, and we don't understand, God, because this is the questions that I've asked, God, why? How can something like this happen? Life can be uncertain, and life can be beyond control. In times like this, life is really beyond our understanding. We are left with raw emotions and tough questions. Sometimes answers is beyond us as we wrestle with the questions daily. Nothing, and I mean nothing, that you and I go through, even the people in Japan on this moment, is beyond God. The trust is that we can and we must rely on God in every situation of our lives, especially in times when nothing makes sense in human terms. We need to trust God. The more senseless life becomes, the greater our need to trust God. I just want to repeat this again: the more senseless our life becomes, the greater our need must be to trust in God. The writer of Proverbs stated it so simply and clearly, and said that God wants a full and complete trust. Trust God with all your heart. We must hold nothing back and surrender to Him all that we are, all that we have, and all that we become. Without the presence and guidance of God, you and I will go nowhere. If we don't have the guidance of God, people, we will go nowhere in life. God wants us to trust even when we don't understand. Even when life doesn't make any sense anymore, God still wants us to trust Him. God wants us to follow Him where the future seems uncertain. And sometimes we come at a point where I myself said, God, I don't know, how will I go further from this? But God wants us to trust Him completely. It's only when we completely trust God that He will give us the power and His direction and the power of His presence. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know Your name will trust in You, for You, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek after You. Psalm 9, 9 and 10. When we feel weak, God must be our strength. When we are pressured by life, God must be our relief. When we need security, God is our refuge. I want to confirm it to you today, friends, that the full assurance of God are at your and my disposal this morning, if we put our trust in Him. If you do not place your trust in God, there is no access to His power, and there is no access to His mercy or His love, if we do not put our trust completely in God. When trials arise and we go through difficulties, it is then that we must place our trust in God. Without trust in God, there is no comfort. Without trust in God, there is no peace and there is no relief. I have come to a little poem that A.B. Simpson wrote, and I really want to read you this poem. A.B. Simpson said, "Once my hands were always trying hard to do my best. Now my heart is sweetly trusting, and my soul is all at rest. Once my brain was always planning, and my heart with cares oppressed. Now I trust the Lord to lead me, and my life is all at rest. Once my life was full of effort, now it's full of joy and passion. Since He took my yoke upon Him, Jesus gives to me the rest." Did you need the rest today? Did you need the rest today? Jesus is willing to put your yoke upon Him. God has made a promise that He will never forsake those who seek Him. He promised that God, the promise that God has made so long ago is still valid today, because God has never broken a promise yet. He can't break a promise, because He's not a man that He should lie. This is what the Word of God said. He is true and He is faithful to His people. Because our treasure is the love from God who created love. Our treasure is grace and peace from the God of all comfort. Our treasure is security from the God who never ever changes. Our treasure is protection and provision from the God who is all powerful. And our treasure is eternity from the God who sacrificed His own Son so that you and I can gain life eternity. My dear brothers and sisters, this is our faithful God. I've also read the story, and I really want to tell you a story this morning. And maybe you younger people will see what it really means to trust. In 1998, and they said it's being a true story. In a country and in a town, Armenia, a young couple sent a son off one day to school. And the father, just before the young boy walk out of the door, the father bends down to his son. He looked him in his eyes and he said, "Have a good day at school today, my son. And always remember, no matter what, Papa will always be there for you." Then he hugged his boy and the boy ran off to school. Hours later, a powerful earthquake rocked that city. And in the midst of the chaos and the uproar, the parents try to discover what happened to their son. But they couldn't get any information. So the radio announces that there were thousands of casualties. So Samuel, his father, grabbed his coat and he headed down to the schoolyard. When he reached the area, what he saw brought tears to his eyes. The school where the place where Armand's school was, his boy's school was just a pile of debris. Other parents were standing around and crying. And Samuel found the place where Armand's classroom used to be. And he began pulling and breaking broken beams one by one off of the pile. The other parents who stand close by Samuel asked, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm digging for my son." The man said, "You're just going to make things worse. The building is unstable." And he tried to pull this father away from his work. But the father refuses to give up. And he kept on working. As times wore on, one by one the parents left. All through the night, this man, this father, was continuing on digging for his son. Parents placed flowers and pictures of their children on the ruins. But Samuel just kept working. He picked up a beam and pushed it out of the way. And then he just heard a faint cry. "Yelp, yelp." Samuel listened and then he heard very clearly, "Papa." Samuel began to dig furiously. Finally he could see his son. He reached out his hand and said, "Come out, son." And the son said, "No, Dad. Let the other kids come out first, because I know that you would come for me. And I know that I can wait because you will come for me." So child after child emerged until finally little Armand appeared. Samuel took him in his arms and he said, "Papa, I told the other kids not to worry because my papa told me that he will always be there for me." 14 children were saved that day by one father's faithfulness. Friends, how much more faithful are our Heavenly Father. Whether we are trapped by fallen debris or ensnared by life's hardship and struggles, we are never cut off of God's faithfulness. He is true to His character. He is reliable. He is trustworthy. And He can be counted on always. Here is a simple definition. God's faithfulness means that everything that He said is certain. God really is 100% reliable. And God is 100% always on time. He does not fail. God does not forget. God does not falter. He does not change. Or He did not disappoint. He says what He means. And He means what He says. And therefore does everything that He says He will do. God's faithfulness that is at the core of his very nature. And God's nature is knowable. God's nature is holy. He's a creator. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. God is just. God is sovereign. God is unchanging and loving because he is faithful to his own character. Always remember that God is faithful to his own character. He never changed his attributes. Paul draw on this truth when he wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 24 that he said, the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. I want to close with and I want to wrap up my sermon this morning. I want to give you three practical ways this morning that you can experience God's greatness in your own life. If you do not have that full greatness of God in your own life, I want you to put it down. When you struggle, all of us experience hard times in our lives. Some of us are struggling with sicknesses. Some of us are struggling with financial pressure. We're struggling with grief or even depression. Friends, do what Jeremiah did when your mind is flooded with difficulties. Choose to focus on God's love. Choose to focus on God's mercy and God's faithfulness. He does not promise to prevent the problems. He does not say that problems won't come to your way. But he does promise to go with us through our troubles. He does promise that he will take us through the valleys. Can you do it right now? Can you call to your mind to know to be true? God is faithful. He will always be there for you. Just take it. Just take it in and just say to yourself, God, I know you will always be faithful to me. Secondly, when you are tempted, some of us are faced with some incredible temptations on a daily basis. You know that because God is faithful, he will always provide a way out for us if you trust in him. 1 Corinthians 10:13 said, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will always provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. What tempts you? What's your fatal flaw today? In what ways are you drawn to something that you know is not right? Remember this, God's faithfulness will give you always a way out. You do not have to give in. He knows exactly the limits of what you can bear. God's faithfulness is tied directly to providing us in a way to say no to sin. It's time that you and I need to say no to the sin in our life daily. When we give in to sin, it's because our focus is on the attractiveness of the temptation rather than on God's faithfulness to deliver us from that situation. So when sin is sometimes so attractive, that's why we took our focus away from God. And the last one, when you mess up, would you be ashamed for others to know everything that you have said, everything that you have do or think during the last 7 days or even the last 3 months? If you know yourself at all, you know how much you mess up and how desperately you need God. In closing, God is asking one question today. And what is your answer? Do you trust me? Can you really trust God with all your heart, all of it? God wants us to trust him with every fiber of our being. It's time for us to let go of the situation and let him be the God of the situation. In every aspect of our lives, he wants us to be confident and rely totally and completely only on him. God's desire is for you and me to come to a place of total surrender and allow himself to rule supremely in our life. Do we really total surrender everything of our life to God already? Are you at a point in your life where you know you don't know whether you are coming or going? Then the answer this morning is trust God completely and totally? Are you at the point this morning and you say, God, from this, I can't go from this anywhere from this? Then the answer is trust God completely and totally. Don't try to figure it out for yourself. If for any reason you and I still struggle with some trust issues this morning, we are here to pray for you. This church is a praying church, and the people are here love to pray for you. So if there's any one of you really that is sitting here that said, it's hard still for me to trust, even to trust in God, please come forward and we will pray for you. I want to encourage you to acknowledge Him in every aspect of your life and allow Him to direct your steps. May God bless His word in each of our hearts, and may His grace be plentiful in our life. May God be with all of you. You can come forward for that. May God be with all of you this morning. And if any one of you are here and you struggle with any trust issues, Pastor Carl is here. Scholar is here. You know what is the church telephone number. If you don't want to come today, you can phone. But it's a call this morning to every one of us. And God asks us. You can put your name in. Like I heard it clearly this week. David, do you trust me? Praise God. Let us just pray. Father God, we come before you. And we know that you are God. We know that you are God that never ever changes. Father, if this call is coming out this morning, that we must put our full and complete trust in you. Help us, Lord God, to break down the barriers that still hold us back, so we can come to you this morning. Father, help us to put our full trust in you. We praise you. We love you. We know that you will be the after preacher of your word. In Jesus' wonderful and holy name we pray. Amen. While the music is on, if you know that you need prayer this morning, you can come forward and people will be here to pray for you. We have prayer intercessors in the church that is more than willing to pray for you. So if you need prayer, if you have trust issues, any other problems, come forward and